And then graduated, moved back, and started. I started dating my wife, Katie. And then she, thank God for her, because she said, we can't date unless I go to church. So I'm glad that her parents instilled that in her. I grew up not going to church. We were Creasters. I call them Creasters. We went to church Christmas and Easter. And that was it. So then I moved back. We got involved. I joined the Army in 2006. January 2006, I joined the Army, went to basic training at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. June that year, June 2nd, we got married. It was a quick wedding because we thought I had four weeks at home. I only had 2 weeks, so we got married real quick. And by August that year, I was on my first tour in Afghanistan. The first year of marriage is the hardest, they say. Well, if you're not in the same country, it definitely is the hardest. So I did three tours. We have three strategically timed babies. Three tours, three babies. You can see, add two and two together, and that's how we have deployment babies. Got out. I started truck driving, which was not good. I was on the road 6 days a week. And then in 2018, like the video said, we took over our bus ministry, which is crazy because I used to hide from the bus that would come and pick us up for church when we lived when I was younger. So we did that. We had, I think, every one of the first group of kids we picked up got saved either at church camp that year or at our church. So that was great seeing those little kids. We took them to church camp down at Mount Salem. I don't know if you guys have been there, Mount Salem Revival Grounds. That's where we went to church camp. And that's where God laid it upon my heart to go into the ministry. Seeing those little kids that come from nothing, with broken homes, bad lives at home, just having the time of their life at church camp, really burdened me to do that. In 2019, I was working for Waste Management, which was horrible, getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to work until 6. And God laid it upon my heart to do the full-time ministry. I remember texting Katie and saying, I'm going to quit today. And she said, no, you don't have another job lined up. It was miserable. So God lined it up where I could have another job. I worked at the county park Monday through Friday. I was at church every Wednesday and Sunday nights and Sunday mornings and stuff. So that was great. And then last year, I surrendered to go into the mission field with Wounded Spirits. Because I suffer from PTSD, I know how to help and counsel those who also suffer from PTSD. Like the video said, the staggering numbers, one out of every five people or 20% of the American population has some sort of PTSD from some sort of event that happened in their lives, either seeing a loved one die or being in a car wreck. Anything can cause PTSD that's traumatic. And so September of last year, we moved to Warsaw, Indiana. Wounded Spirits is going to be buying about 65 acres of land to build a retreat center or camp to help those suffering from PTSD, be it first responders, veterans, nurses, doctors, police officers, whatever. PTSD wasn't talked about a lot in history. It used to be called shell shock in World War I and World War II. In Vietnam, Gulf War Syndrome during Desert Storm, Desert Shield, and now PTSD, post-traumatic stress. And a lot of people have it and don't even know it. They don't know why they're having nightmares or flashbacks. So we moved out of Faith and to Warsaw, Indiana, where we're going to be building a retreat. We are working alongside another missionary family, the Wesco, Stephanie Wesco. She and her husband were missionaries to Cameroon, West Africa. They have 8 children, and they raised support for 3 years to go. In October of 2018, they went to Cameroon. 12 days later, Charles was gunned down by a militia member in Cameroon and died right on the spot. So because of that, she suffers from PTSD, flashbacks, and nightmares. And so she moved back, and her best friend got a hold of Doug, the president of Wounded Spirits, and said, hey, can you help I think she would really help. She needs help because she has God. She's saved. But until you step out and put it in His hands, healing can't start. So they moved back with their 8 kids, had to evacuate Cameroon, and we're working with them. She does the women's ministry for Wounded Spirit. She counsels a lot of women that have suffered from life's traumas, rape, sexual assault, anything like that. And she's going to be the head of our women's ministry at the retreat. And right now we have 6 missionary families around the country that are affiliated with Wounded Spirits. And then we have 3 more coming on board this year that hopefully 2 of them move to Warsaw. So PTSD is very real. And a lot of children have it from the way they grow up. And so that's our burden, to help those suffering from PTSD, letting them know that they do have a Savior that can help them, that will take their burden. They've already taken Jesus has already taken the burden. It's just that they have to put their trust and faith in Him, and He'll take the burden away. All right, so I'm going to start preaching. So if we turn to Exodus chapter 2, we're going to talk about Moses. So Exodus chapter 2. We all know the story of Moses and how he was saved by his mother. Speaking of Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Without mothers, no one would be here today. And I'm sorry for Adam and Eve, that makes labor so painful for you guys. I mean, I couldn't imagine. But Exodus chapter 2. If I had a title for this, it would be A Lifetime of Training. We can look at Moses' life. I'm glad that the Lord made it easy to look at Moses' life. He lived to be 120 years old, and it's broken down into 3 sections of 40 years each. So it says, we'll go to chapter 2, verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. This is right after the Pharaoh ordered the decree to kill all the male babies. Because Pharaoh was scared that the Hebrews were going to take over Egypt. They were about 2 million. They had outnumbered the Egyptians. And in verse number 3 it says, and when she could no longer hide him, she took him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags of the river brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. So his sister was watching. And this is the second ark in the Bible that saved people. And the first one was obviously Noah's ark, where it saved Noah's family and the animals. And in verse number 5, and the daughter of Pharaoh came to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walking along the riverside, and when they saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then, to the rescue, then said his sister, Moses' sister, to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman, and she may nurse the child for thee? One thing to note here is that she was watching over Moses. And she knew who the mother was. So this is a special gift that otherwise his mom wouldn't have been able to raise him for however long she nursed him. I'd say a year or so, 16 months, 18 months. And Pharaoh's daughter told her to go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. So she went, obviously her mom, Moses is her brother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away, and nurse it for me, and I will give thee the wages. So not only did she get to raise her own child, the princess, Pharaoh's daughter, paid her to do it. We don't pay our wives or our moms to raise us. I mean, they deserve pay for all they do. Like the video said, was saying, and the first pain relief was the mom's kiss and hugs. I'm so glad that my mom is still alive and I get to hug her when we meet. So then it came to pass when Moses was grown and they went into his... Oh, wait. Verse number 10. And the child grew and she was brought into the Pharaoh's daughter. So now Pharaoh's daughter adopted Moses. And he became her son. So she adopted Moses and became her son. And it's believed that Moses was being groomed by the current Pharaoh to take over his spot. And she called his name Moses and said, because I drew him out of the water. All right, so my first note is, no matter what season of life you're in, learn. Now I can say from experience, growing up in a broken home, seeing what I saw, it taught me how not to act in most cases. And there's a lot of children around this area that grow up with broken homes and alcoholic parents, and even more prevalent now is the opioid crisis. And so for the first 3 months, Moses lived with at his house with his parents, and they knew him and knew that it wasn't going to be too long before they had to get rid of him, like Moses' mom did. And then good thing Moses' sister is watching him, and then she got to help raise him. Growing up as a child, I knew who I was. I knew my family. And Moses here got to be raised with his own family. And so during that time, he learned the culture. He learned the Hebrew culture. No doubt that he learned their customs and courtesies. Just like growing up, we try to teach our kids when we go to a church to shake people's hands, to look them in the eye. When they ask you a question, don't look down on top of your shoes. Look at them so they can hear you. They're shy anyway, so they don't talk very loud. So Moses got to learn for about a year, year and a half maybe, from his family. And growing up or raising kids, they're sponges. You don't have to teach your kids how to lie. They know that just by their sin nature. You have to teach them how to walk. They walk and talk and do things from their environment around them. They learn from the people that are around them most. And no doubt Moses, during this time, was soaking up whatever he could to learn, to grow. Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, it says. And then growing up as a prince, I guess you could say he was a prince of Egypt, has its perks. He never had to lack for food. Later in the story, we know that he didn't have to make bricks with the clay and the hay and the stubble. He had the best education, the best clothes, probably the best food, and he had servants to do his stuff for him while growing up in Pharaoh's court or Pharaoh's house. So that was his childhood and education from the year from being a toddler to age 40. Now 40 now is almost midlife, but back in Moses' time, 40 to 80 was midlife. And then a tragic event turned when Moses was 40. Moses killed the Egyptian officer that was beating and whipping his fellow Hebrews, his fellow men. So the second point is, no matter where you are, learn and grow. Now, for me, my midlife would have been my years in the military. In basic training, they beat you down. You're no longer your individual. You have to work as a team. And you learn customs and courtesies. You learn everything. And there's some things that you learn that you don't want to learn. And there's some things that learn to make you better. Discipline. I grew up, my dad was in the military too, so, but even being in the military, you're 15 minutes early to 15 minutes early. So we show up to churches way early. And one time I remember we were going to church and we were like 5 minutes early and it drove me nuts. The whole time I'm driving, I said, we're not doing that. We got to leave earlier. I can't do this. It's just one of those things that gets me, because if you're late, you get in trouble. One thing we know is God's never late. He's always on time. And from this, so Moses killed the Egyptian. Moses fled into Midian. During that time, he grew. He became a shepherd for his father-in-law, Jethro. And every time I think that, I think the Beverly Hillbillies. I don't know, like Granny up there in the rocking chair in the car. But grow, learn. All of our life experiences can help us grow, help other people grow, and help counsel others. So no doubt Moses had to learn a lot of things. Being a prince or the Pharaoh's daughter, he probably didn't have to do any hard work at all. Maybe the hardest work was getting up in the morning and picking out what kind of clothes he wanted. So he was in Midian. He married one of Jethro's daughters and became a shepherd for him. In Afghanistan, they still herd goats in the mountains. And I don't know how they do it, but those goats wander off and they run up the mountain and they smack it back into place. And it takes a lot of patience, especially with sheep. That's why we're called sheep in the Bible. God's got a lot of patience for us. I don't know how much more patience he's got with the way the world's going today. But I believe the rapture is coming. It's got to come. He's not going to take very much more of this wickedness down here on the earth. But while Moses was a shepherd with Jethro, he learned how to basically herd. Keep things in order, take care of things. He took care of the livestock, the flock, and he kept them safe. And all this is important to what Moses does in his last 40 years as the leader of the people of Israel. So no matter where you're at, learn and grow. I know, looking back now, seeing things that learning more about PTSD, learning more about what causes it, and what some of the side effects, or not side effects, but the things we deal with. Our display back in the back has some of the things that PTSD causes. It causes hopelessness. It causes depression, nightmares, flashbacks. And looking back, I would say that my PTSD started when I was in the military in Afghanistan, getting shot at. It's not fun. It's scary. Having friends get shot and all that. But looking back now, I can see that my PTSD started when my dad passed away. And that's a traumatic event for anyone, but especially when you're young, growing up, and you need a dad. But 15 going on 16, watching him take chemo and just whittle away, he couldn't gain weight and stuff like that. That's where it really started. The military just added to it, and several things in between there. But God has a purpose for everything that happens in your life. If God didn't have a purpose for you, you wouldn't be here anymore. He'd call you home. You know, even unsafe people, God still has a purpose for you. You might not see it. I wasn't saved until I turned 18, or right before my 19th birthday. But now looking back, I can see God guiding me through different things. My dad passing away. So I can sympathize with a child that has lost their dad or their mom. My mom's still alive, but one day that's coming. It's inevitable. We're all going to die. But then in the military, I'm working with a friend right now that he is just, he's a Christian, but he lives in the world. I'm trying to show him through the Bible and stuff how God can help him by helping others. So Moses was the shepherd for Jethro. And then in the last 40 years of his life, he went back to Egypt. God told him in a burning bush, hey, this is what I want you to do. Anyone ever make excuses to not do what God tells you to do? Or your parents? That was Moses. Moses is sitting there listening to the Lord in the burning bush and say, who am I? I'm not anyone. God saved Moses when his mom put him in that ark. God had a purpose for Moses. Even though Moses didn't see it, God had a purpose. God has a purpose for us. We may not see it. We might not want to see it. I know stepping out in faith, quitting a good paying job to go out in the mission field, well, you didn't know how you were going to get support, but you knew God was going to take care of you. And that's what he does. God supplies the needs for all of his people. I know our home church back in Belmont actually grew during the pandemic. We saw more kids. I don't know if the parents were sick of them being at home, but we saw our kids ministry grow and people get saved. And our outreach, we door knocked every week. We went out and door knocked and visitation. God had a purpose for all this. And so at Moses is looking at the burning bush, and he's like, I can't speak. Anyone else has trouble speaking? If you watch that video like I did. But, I need an Aaron. If anyone wants to be my Aaron, like Moses. That's what God said. Don't you have a brother, Aaron? And so he gave him Aaron. Or I don't know what to call you. The best... We went through a Bible study, I am. God is the I am. And his people would know when he said, I am that I am sent me, that they would believe him. So now God gave Moses the mission. Go back, tell Pharaoh that I'm going to take my people and let them go. And we know the story. Moses went and showed him the signs. Aaron threw down his rod, turned into a serpent. And one of the things there too, you know what a rod is? Rod's just a stick. It's not a fancy, it could have been a walking stick. I mean, Moses was 80, Aaron was 83. So it could have been a walking stick, but it was just a stick. God uses ordinary people and ordinary things to do extraordinary things for him. So they threw down the signs and God even told Moses that he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart. Now, I don't know how many of us would go and our boss tell us, hey, go ask Joe Schmo for this, and then your boss says, I'm going to tell him to say no, but I want you to go anyway. Well, what would be the point? What would be the point to waste my time? But God, Moses knew God meant, and he was going to do what God told him to do. So the third point here is, no matter what God tells you to do, do it. So Moses went back to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, I don't know the Lord. So then 10 bad things happened. We know the story. The first three plagues was the blood, frogs, and lice. Blood in the desert is a lifeline for, or blood. Water in the desert is a lifeline for everything. My last tour in Afghanistan, we were in the southern part towards Kandahar, all desert. And you could see the holes where they would dig for water through the desert. It would just go in a big line until they hit one. And so they struck the Nile with the rod. All the fresh water turned to blood. Water in the pots, water in the lakes. So they were trying to find fresh water. So the first three plagues I wrote down were to distress the people. You need water to survive. I think it was a week or two without water. Not very long. Water is our lifeline. Frogs and lice. The next three, the flies, death of the livestock, and the boils were The next three plagues, painful and costly. It costs something. It costs when you don't listen to the Lord. Either comforts. I know some missionaries, like in Burma, our church in Indiana supports two missionaries to Burma. And they're going through a civil war right now. They've had to run and hide in the jungle. And because their own country's military is hunting them down. So your comfort and your livestock and your earthly things, it might cost. And the last four is the hail, the locust, the darkness, and the death of the firstborn. And we know the death of the firstborn was the first Passover. And then I wrote down here, there's no doubt when Moses went back to the Pharaoh, he was out of his comfort zone. One thing I wrote down for a lifetime of training. Moses trained for a lifetime for this moment. He might not have seen it, but growing up in the Egyptian household, he knew the Egyptian language. He knew their customs. He knew everything that meant the most to them. Their gods, many small g gods, when he serves the one big G God. God would deliver his people through Moses. Moses didn't see that when he was growing up in the Egyptian household. He didn't know that when he was serving as a shepherd under Jethro. And God will always push us out of our comfort zone. I know that the most inconvenient times for God to tell you to do something is usually when he calls you to do something. I wrote down here, Gideon was, where is it? Gideon was threshing wheat. Gideon was threshing wheat. Samuel was serving in the tabernacle, or in the temple, or in the tabernacle. Samuel was called by God, and he thought it was Eli. So every time God called him, he went up to see if his master was calling him and said, what? And Eli told him, no, go back. If he calls again, say, thy servant heareth, speak. So he did that. God has a lot to say about not doing anything and doing something. He wants us to be busy here while we can. The Great Commission tells us to go. It could be our own Judea or Jerusalem here in Bridgeport, Clarksburg area. It could be anywhere, but he wants us to go save people. Well, we can't save people. The Lord can save people. And then Moses would lead through the wilderness for 40 years, looking back at all the training that he's had with the sheep and the sheep when he was a shepherd. And looking back now, I can see, just like Moses, how God was working in my heart. He put me through traumatic events so I could help other people get through the wilderness to the promised land. Even though those people weren't grateful sometimes, like Israel going through the wilderness, they murmured and spoke bad against Moses. And sometimes they worshiped idols. And they were corrected. But a lifetime of training is what we are going through as we speak. PTSD is in our schools. PTSD is in our fire departments, our police departments, our EMS. And the bad thing is about all the first responders, they usually don't get a chance to reset in between calls. Police officer could be pulling someone over for a speeding ticket one moment, and then the next moment be on a domestic violence call, and then back to another speed stop without time to process what just happened. I've learned going through counseling and reading the Bible and talking to others that we do need time to process what has happened to us. Like the video said, in 2000, 16, 17, I gave all my burdens to Christ. I was saved before then, but being in the military, you're supposed to do it all yourself. You're the tough guy. You don't go seek help because you're weak. Is what they drilled into us. That's my message. I just don't want to miss our prayer table in the back. We have prayer cards if you didn't receive one. I know Paisley tried to get everyone. We do have tracks for first responders, a general track for first responders, and we have one for police, EMS, and fire, and one for veterans. We also do have a PTSD track back there that myself and our assistant pastor wrote in our church in Indiana. It's just my testimony, and hopefully that could help someone else. We do have Wounded Spirits books back there for a donation. It's great for someone that does suffer from PTSD. Anything really, any troubles in life. It's a biblical approach to what the Bible says about certain things that we go through, nightmares, flashbacks, addiction, depression, and stuff like that. So it's a biblical approach to that. And that's what we're trying to... We believe in medicine if you need it, but the best medicine is going to be Christ. And we got to show them through the Bible what he says and how he says it. So with that, I know we got, baby dedications after this? Amen. The best thing we can do is dedicate our kids to Christ. And so with that, Pastor, I'm finished. And it was a blessing being here. Thanks. So grab a prayer card, and if you could, just pray for us while we are on deputation. Thanks.
Brother Knight, I want to first say thank you for surrendering to the Lord to do what you're doing. You know, you are in a ministry that you have personally had to suffer through and probably still suffer through at times. And it's very impressive to me that you're willing to surrender to the Lord to serve him. I'm very interested in Wounded Spirits. Last night I watched the founder, Brother Kerrigan, in a message he preached in another state. Very, very interesting man. Very interesting ministry, and I'd like to find out more about this, because, to be honest with you, there are many people, as you said, that suffer from PTSD. And probably everybody in this auditorium knows people, may have family members that suffer with PTSD, and it is a real issue. And so I want to encourage you to do something. I don't know, you know, what you would normally charge for that book, but you mentioned donation. I'd encourage you, if you have a family member or a friend that's struggling with PTSD, that you purchase that book, not give it to them, but you read it to know how to minister to other people. And I'm hoping that in the process of time that this ministry will be a benefit to a lot of folks, and trying to get as much benefit myself out of it as possible. You know, he preached about Moses today. I wonder if Moses suffered with those things. Moses went through plenty of traumatic experiences in his life. And yet, despite all the traumatic events, he still served Jesus Christ. He did. He served Jesus Christ. He served the Creator. And I just stop and think about that maybe you have been through traumatic events in your life, and as was presented today, God's going to work through those things to make you what you are so that you can more effectively minister to people. And I believe that there are people that can not only minister to their own sphere of folks, the influence that you have with family and friends, but there may be someone here today that God would want to even call. See, God, I'm willing to surrender my life to you. I'm willing to do what Brother Knight's willing to do. I'm willing to minister to people, not just my small influence over this circle that I have, but, Lord, maybe on a mission field somewhere. So I just want to encourage you to think about what you've heard today. consider what God might be able to do through you for the sake of others. Because we're all going to stand together and going to have Patty come to the piano. And as you stand, I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. And, of course, as we always do, every time we meet on a Sunday morning, we give people an opportunity to respond. Now, maybe you'll respond right where you're at. Maybe you want to come to this altar and respond this morning to the Lord and just say, whatever way you want to use me, whatever way you choose to use me, God, I want to be available to you. Even with my shortcomings, even with the struggles that I may have, just like Moses had emotional struggles and physical struggles. Brother Knight acknowledged those things in his own life, and yet these men giving their lives to Christ, maybe you say, I don't know that God could ever use me in any special way. Well, if God used Moses, he can use you. He can use me. Maybe this morning you just want to come and say, God, I'm just making myself available. Whatever way you choose to use me, I'm making myself available to you. And of course, I know we have a number of visitors here this morning. Whatever your need may be, maybe you don't know the Christ of Calvary, the one who died for you. And I'm always amazed to think about what we're told in Isaiah. He carried all our griefs and all of our sorrows. Maybe you've been through some traumatic things. You can come and lay him at the feet of Jesus. And most importantly, lay your sin at his feet. He'll forgive you. He'll save you. If you need Christ today, I encourage you, if you want someone to speak to you, have someone take you aside privately, talk to you about the Lord Jesus. But I'd settle that this morning. So I'm going to have Patty begin to play. And if you need to come this morning, I encourage you to come right now.